Ryan Schaug, TSN, joins us. Schauger, how are you?
I'm doing good today, buddy. Covered a little Oilers in the morning, Eskimos in the afternoon, and getting set for the game tonight. So busy day, but good day.
Well, you're excited because you got your wish, and Jesse Puljujarvi is playing with Connor McDavid.
Yeah, see, I knew Todd would listen to me eventually if I just kept yelling enough. No, I mean, look, like, it could be fleeting, and I'm not going to suggest that that's why Connor broke out of his slump and he got a hat trick. But, I've been waiting for him to give him a look there, and I thought he looked good. I mean, they had a few five-on-five shifts where they had good possession in the offensive zone. Yes, he's rangy. He's creating a lot of turnovers in the offensive zone with his reach and with his takeaway ability. So I like the way he keeps offensive zone time alive by being aggressive. And every second you have in the offensive zone, he does it a lot more than Everly does. And every second you have the puck in the offensive zone and McDavid on the ice is a second more if you've got a good chance to score. So for those reasons, he's getting a look going on to the second straight game now where he's starting there. And I think he's earned it. So I think it makes sense.
Benoit Pouliot, Mark Letestu, second straight game, they will sit out. And I understand why they're out tonight. I guess I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised when Pouliot got a healthy scratch in Dallas after 11 games without a point, but I was kind of surprised Letestu was the one getting the short straw.
Well, I mean, listen, they no longer have Lander and Letestu regularly in their lineup, like with Letestu the last couple of games. I think the Oilers took a look at their lineup and a look at their results and said, okay, they're not the reason we're losing games, but I don't think they're good enough with both of those guys in the lineup. I just don't. I think Letestu is an okay fourth-line center, and he can win some faceoffs, and he's a decent penalty killer. Lander is five.
Who cares? Yeah, to me, I agree with you. Lander's not
right?
even an NHLer.
And
yeah.
So you look at that lineup, and you go, okay, well, they're just not good enough with those guys in there. So why not try some other guys, get some other guys that maybe have the ability to actually impact the game and not just be neutral type players. And that's the thing. Lander and Letestu on a given night will be equal or neutral or maybe behind. Why not put guys in that maybe have a chance to give you a little bit of an advantage? So when Drake Caggiula became available, it was just too tempting for them not to try a guy who isn't just out there to play the other team even. He's got some ability, and he's shown some speed and shown some jump when he was given the opportunity late in the exhibition season. So I don't blame them for going, you know what, let's use these positions in our lineup and try and put guys in place that can get something done. Who knows if they'll be able? Let's see. And I liked it. And for Pouliot, no points in 11 games. I think he's got 12 shots in that time. It's not acceptable. It's not enough offense. And you don't see him killing himself trying to find it. So I got no problem with them sitting him down. He's not being – I mean, I think it would have been a one-game benching under most circumstances, but they won, so that's why he's out tonight again. The punishment has kind of come and gone. But not good enough for him. So I have no issue with the fact that they're wanting to sit him out and try a different look.
Yeah, I have no issue at all with Pouliot. The good news is, like, to me, Mark Letestu is still a fine fourth-line NHL center. I don't have any issues with him. Pouliot, I still think, is an NHL player. They actually now have some legit competition for the first time in forever where the guys who are sitting out are actual proven NHL players, not guys who have had one good game.
Right. Well, I mean, look what happens on the back end, right? Look what happens when you add a player. Like, even if Brandon Davidson hurts, Matt Benning coming in and playing the way he's played and earning more responsibility and more trust from his coach. Now you bring Chris Russell back into the lineup and you're pulling a guy out that's played pretty well in Eric Greiba this year. I mean, he's done his job. But that's what you get when you have upward pressure throughout the lineup, and that's what the Oilers have now. And with guys getting healthier again. So Drake Caggiula comes in and it's early. I mean, he had the first game bump of energy, but the way Caggiula plays the game, I mean, I didn't think he looked like he had any more jump or pop than I'd seen out of him in the time. I mean, he's always been excitable when he's in there and skating well. He looked like he looked before. So he didn't look nervous, and he didn't look like the pressure was too much. He looked like he looked before. So he's going to continue to get a good look. And then they're going to be able to get a little bit more creative as Caggiula gets more comfortable. they'll be able to elevate him up the lineup a little bit, try him in the number three center spot. That'll allow them to maybe move Nugent or Draisaitl up the lineup a little bit if they want to. So it only means good things when guys get healthy and put upward pressure on everybody in the lineup.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. The Blackhawks come to town, and they're obviously very good. And the Oilers and the Hawks usually play pretty exciting games. Doesn't always mean the Oilers win. Well, usually it doesn't. But they've actually had quite more success against Chicago than any other top teams the last few seasons, because the one thing the Oilers have been able to do is, if it doesn't get into a heavy game, they had some success. They're not necessarily that team, though, this year. They've had more success in the bigger games than they have against the fast teams like Pittsburgh and New York. So what do you expect tonight?
Yeah, well, and as you get into the Chicago dressing room and start talking to the Blackhawks about what they expect from the Oilers tonight, I mean, they all kind of understand it's a bit of a different animal that they're facing this year. Coming through Edmonton before, it was a much different game. It was the kind of game where you knew that they had speed and you knew that they had some skill, and that you didn't necessarily want to let that run wild, but that if you asserted yourself, it was absolutely a team you could lean on and put your thumb on. You really get the feeling that they don't believe that anymore. They know there's a different quality of play, a different compete level. They're prepping themselves for a game against a higher end team than it was in years past at Edmonton. So Chicago's kind of understanding that and bracing for that. Marian Hossa right now is the toast of this team. He's playing fantastic hockey. You talk to the guys that cover this team and have this year, they just speak so glowingly about Hossa and how good he is at both ends of the ice and everything that he's able to get done. So as their Stars games have come and gone a little bit, he's been consistent and been really, really good. You've got Kane and Taves playing together. You got Hossa and Panarin on a second line coming at you with Anisimov, who is really, really coming into his own in Chicago. So this is a really good team. This is a huge challenge for Edmonton. Lines 1 through 4, it'll be interesting to see how they match up. And a real big test for Larson, Klefbom, as they've got Kane, Taves, Panarin, Hossa coming at them, and the rest of the D as well. But really, that big pairing for Edmonton, that Larson, Klefbom pairing, is going to need to have a really good night.
Well, I don't, because they'll probably see the Kane and Taves line, but then it's the Hossa and Anisimov line. So I think really it's going to be Russell Sakra who's going to have to be good, because the Hossa and Anisimov line is almost just as dangerous as Kane and Taves right now.
Right. Well, both pairings obviously are going to have to be really good. I mean, Chicago has multiple lines that they can throw at you with legitimate world-class scoring threats on both lines. So whoever ends up out there against whoever, it's a huge test for the Oilers D, because it's not just one or two guys. I mean, between Taves and Kane, who can both win a game on their own any given night, Panarin, who was spectacular offensively last year and maybe isn't quite at the same pace this year, but as I was listening to your show earlier, it sounds like his game is maybe a little more well-rounded than it was before. And Anisimov and Hossa, those are big guys coming at you. I mean, that is a lot of weight and strength. So it'll be a big test for these guys. And one of the things you notice with Russell drawing back into the lineup is Darnell Nurse's minutes come back down to earth a little bit, which I think really, really helps the Oilers stabilize that blue line. I think with Darnell playing up like 19, 20, 21 minutes, I think it's a little much for him right now. With Russell back in, it really stabilizes that pairing with Sakura. Benning has been very good, but it allows Nurse and Benning to just be a third pairing. They can take third pairing 15, 16, 17 minutes and stay within themselves with those kinds of minutes.
What did you make of, the Oilers' game in Dallas was pretty solid in every factor, maybe except their penalty kill. And that's the one, and that's why, honestly, I don't think Letestu stays out very long, because I thought their penalty kill gave up way too many easy looks for Dallas.
Yeah, you know what, though? Frankly, by the same token, the last time Letestu was in the game, I thought he made a terrible penalty-killing mistake and cost them a goal. So he's a good penalty killer, and he wins face-offs for them, which those are all important things. But, if the Oilers find a way to win tonight, I don't see any rush to get Mark Letestu back in the lineup. I expect Mark Letestu to be a guy who has competition to play every night. Like, I view the Pouliot scratching and the Letestu scratching completely differently. We could see a lot of Mark Letestu in and out of the lineup from here to the end of the season. Pouliot should be there every game. He should. He's a good enough player and makes enough money. He should not be an in and out of the lineup guy. for Letestu, this could just be what he faced. I mean, we're just used to him being in every night when he's healthy because there hasn't been anyone else. But guess what? I mean, there are guys now. Tyler Pitlick and the way he plays absolutely affects Letestu's ability to be in the lineup. Drake Caggiula and the way he plays absolutely will affect that. They might have to make the choice on any given night between Hendricks or Letestu. Like, I think this could be something Letestu faces regularly.
That's possible, right? Well, of course, if the team stays healthy, right? Because the Oilers are still, it hasn't been talked about because they're winning because they finally have some depth, but the Oilers still lead the NHL in man games lost due to injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I guess somewhat fortunately for them, I mean, it dug in a little bit with Chris Russell. That was a tough loss for them, no question. Davidson is a tough loss for them, but it hasn't infected the top six forwards and the top three defensemen just yet. Although you could argue Russell was in and around that range anyways. But yeah, it like man games lost to injury is one thing. McDavid games lost to injury is another. Eberle games lost to injury is another. Top six forwards is another. So they've, yes, there are a lot, but they have been survivable injuries from an organizational standpoint.
Shocker, one last one for you. The Oilers have this game and then their 10 games of death, which was the toughest 10-game stretch of the season, is done. And if they win tonight, suddenly they have 23 points, and then you've got Colorado and Arizona and Toronto and, you know, definitely not the top teams. Like, the Oilers have lately haven't done very well at home. They haven't done very well against teams playing their third game in four nights, and they haven't done well against the top skating teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
Is this a game where they have to show better? Because I didn't think they played very well in either of the Dallas or New York losses at home.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, taking control of it at home is going to be crucial for them. When you have the weapons they have and you have last change, you got to find ways to take advantage of that. You have to, and you have to get McDavid out there against that third D pairing for Chicago. You got to... I mean, they've got Jalmerson on it, I think. But there are some weaknesses back there with Chicago going with some different guys, some younger guys. You need to take advantage of your home games when you have them. And that stretch that they've just come through, I think what they proved to themselves was they're probably looking at all those games going, okay, there were some where they were good and some where they were bad. But they've played some of the best teams in the league here, and they can play with all of them. They have not been just thoroughly outclassed. Like, remember last year we would watch them play against some of these teams and you just go, yeah, like, it's apples to oranges. It's not even close. Well, they're not really playing games like that this year. They're built a little differently. And even though they might not be winning all the games against these good teams, when you see how they match up for a hockey game, they can hang with these teams. And so they get through this stretch, maybe not having picked up as many points. The losing streak was ugly, although I thought they had a lot of scoring chances and shot themselves in the foot a lot by not burying. I think they come through this 10 games of death, like you called it, and probably with a little bit of confidence in looking at the quality of competition they faced and how they were in most of those games and how they played against those teams. And if they can take that, and then you go into these games against teams where they should beat and assert that confidence a little bit. Understand, look, you have a chance to be a top half of the league team. But that means you got to do that against those other teams too. Take that attitude into those games against those other teams and put your foot on their neck. I think even though there was the losing streak, I think they probably come out of that streak of games with a little bit of confidence about their place in the NHL world.
Well, it'll be another test, and we will see if they can pass one and give themselves an opportunity to have a very successful first quarter of the season. Shocker, we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. Take care.